You're listening to a podcast from Life Church Southampton. To find out more about the church or to explore other resources, visit lifesouthampton.org.
So this whole series is going to be called Hoist the Sails, and over the next few weeks, the other elders are going to be looking at Romans 12, and we're not going to be starting there today, but if you wanted to have a little look at that, have a little look at Romans 12 over the next week or so, that will do you good regardless. But we're going to have a little think about some of who we are today. And the golden rule in business, or to be honest, kind of anything, is to start with why. Start with your why. Why you do something is key to ensure that you don't just drift off and start doing all sorts of other stuff. That when things get tough or when they're not quite what you thought, you are kind of tethered to something that says, this is why we do what we do. It's important in family life, it's important in your personal life, it's particularly important in business, like I say, because otherwise, there's so many things you could do, right? And that's true in all sorts of things. And for us at church, in here in Life Church, that why is really, really clear in the Bible. It's sometimes called the Great Commandment. And Jesus quotes it in Matthew 22. Hopefully some of it will be on the screen. He says this. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul, and with all your mind. He's quoting from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's really simple to remember. This is our purpose. This is our why. This is everything we are about. Love God and love your neighbor. That's pretty memorable, right? It stood the test of time. Jesus did all right with that one. That is what we are all about. He says at the end, he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these things, basically. And when we hear that, he's talking about everything that's been before. Everything comes into this key idea. Jesus says it was true then and it's true now that the basic premise of the whole of life is love God and love your neighbor. If only it was just that simple, right? There's only two things to do. And I don't know about you, but I struggle with both of them. But that's it. That is what it boils down to. That is our baseline. The only way we can ever love God and love our neighbor is because he has first loved us. We're told that that is the truth. So it's not just about you trying really hard. This isn't a New Year's resolution message. Okay? The point is you can love because he's first loved you, and from that place you can love him and love others. Maybe if you're here at church this morning for the first time, maybe it's like you've woken up over Christmas and you've sort of thought, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to go to church for the first time this year. Then this is the thing I want you to have ringing in your ears, is that God loves you first. So that is a great commandment, love God and love your neighbor, but first, he loves you. From the youngest of you in here, taking notes in your brand new youth journals that the youth team have got for you. I hope you're appreciating those. You can write this down. God loves me. I would love that to be one of the first things that's written in there alongside probably the doodles that you've also drawn. He loves you. And because he loves you first, that means that there's no amount of impressing him or even keeping this great commandment well enough to love him and love others that could change the fact that he loves you because it came first. If you want to know more about just how much God loves you, we can talk more about that afterwards. Come and find me, come and find one of the folk who've been down the front. We would love you to know more about that. But that is our why, because he loves us. Our purpose as a church is to love him back with everything we have. It's the greatest pursuit there is to give our lives to. Love God totally. So that's our purpose. And then our mission, because of that, is that Jesus gives us this in Matthew 28 a little bit later on. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So our purpose is that great commandment, and this has been called the Great Commission. If you've ever been to any other church, their whole mission statement will be some version of this. That's what churches have been doing since forever. And if they're not doing this, it's probably not a church. Matthew 28 is our mission. It's our marching orders from our great captain. It is the thing he says to us, to all of us, to go and do. It's the master plan from HQ. It is our mission to the world, should we choose to accept it, to go and make disciples of all nations, all about Jesus. See, Jesus he's not sent the kind of email you get from companies or the school where they sometimes forget to put the right link. Do you know what I mean? You always get those. Every kind of, particularly this time of year, companies are sending out all their stuff and it's like, oops, you get another email 2 minutes later because someone's emailed back going, you forgot to put the link. It's always the way. But this has never been improved upon. Jesus never went, Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Oh, I forgot. He's never had to add to this. There's never been an addendum that's been sent that said, oh, and this is it. That is the mission. He never said, when I said go and make disciples of all nations, what I meant, obviously, in 21st century is more like, no, it has always been the same. It will always be the same until he comes back. He doesn't say, no, not like actual discipleship. Don't actually require people to, like, do something. Just put church on. And he says, go and make disciples, people who follow me with every single part of everything they are, because we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, everything. That's why we're going to be speaking in Romans 12. You can figure out the link for yourselves at some point. So that's our purpose, our mission. And then our vision is how we do this. So here at Life Church in Southampton, in our day, what are we about? Because our purpose and our mission are those things, to love God and love others, to go and make disciples, it's all very outward looking, isn't it? It's not be a really good person. It's not do some good things this year. It's not tick off a list of spiritual formation disciplines. Though those things are good, the point is go. And so our vision, is bringing life to every community. You'll see it on all sorts of stuff if you go on anywhere near any of our websites or social media or water bottles or anything like that. It's everywhere. And it's everywhere on purpose because it's so easy to forget what we're about. It's so easy to start thinking, making our own little community at the exclusion of everybody else because it feels nice. But that's not such a great vision. It might feel like it would be. It'd be nice to just be us, wouldn't it? We'd get to know everybody. We'd be known, we could share all of our troubles and our challenges, and we'd know who's going to be in the room, and there'd never be anyone who's problematic. Well, that's not true, actually. Most of you would have to leave. And so would I. But that's not how this works, is it? We are bringing life to every community, because as those loved by God, we want to love him back and love our neighbors. And the most loving thing you can do for anybody is introduce them to Jesus. Is the most loving thing you could ever, ever do. You'd start by introducing them to sushi. That's a good start, but the point is Jesus. You do know that, right? Chris isn't just, like, really into Japanese food. Though he kind of is as well. He loves Jesus more than that. And so we want to encourage them to a life of discipleship, to following the way of Jesus. So the aim of everything we do, including this on Sunday mornings, throughout the week, is to help you to follow Jesus. And then to cultivate a life following Jesus that shows to other people what a life following Jesus looks like. And then you bring that life to whatever community you are part of. at the hospital, in schools, in colleges, in your workplace, on your street, in your home. You are all part of a community that I'm not part of. Like Chris said, you've got friends that I don't have. And so the invitation is that wherever people from Life Church find themselves, in their neighborhoods and in their places of work, we have life in Jesus to bring there. You can't bring something you don't have, can you? That's not how that word works. It's quite intentional that you should know the life you have and that you can bring it to wherever you find yourself. And as a result, other people will enjoy this fullness of life that Jesus promises us. And fullness of life isn't just like, well, here's my life at the moment and Jesus is just going to add some nice things to it. I think fullness looks like both ways, right? A glass is only full when it's full at the bottom and the top. You don't just have half the full at the top half, do you? That's crazy. No, Jesus invites you to fullness both ways. And so the depths of despair that you might feel, you experience with Jesus. And the heights of joy that you might experience, you experience with Jesus. And we do that together in community and we invite others along on the journey. So there I am, sat on this bench about 5 years ago, watching this 90-foot sailing yacht. And I phoned Jake, who, by the way, trains future Olympians in sailing. I know, kind of a big deal. He'll be signing stuff later. And I start to recognize this kind of feeling of how God speaks to me. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that. I don't know if you ever have that experience. But for me, what it often feels like is my own kind of thoughts. Like it feels like my own normal kind of inner voice in my head, but just saying much more wise things. Like, and stuff that is really coherent and makes total sense rather than random thoughts. And so I'm learning to start to just pay attention to those little things that come into my head. I've never heard an audible voice of God speak to me. I know others have had that experience. Maybe I'd be more attentive and expectant of that. But actually, I think God is speaking more to all of us than we might actually know or recognize. I'd love you this year to cultivate learning to hear the shepherd's voice. Learning to hear what it sounds like when God is speaking to you, because it tells us in Scripture that he does, he wants to. The problem is often on the receiving end rather than the giving end. So anyway, there I am, and I feel like God might be speaking to me. And you'll know that maybe you'll know, I don't know. But God spoke to us years ago at Life Church about being like a lifeboat. That's why our offices and community space is a building called the Boathouse. It's why our members' meetings are called crew nights, because we want everyone to understand that they're part of this crew on this mission with this lifeboat. We want everyone to understand and have that mindset of mission to seek and save the lost through Jesus. It's shaped a lot of what we've done over the years. It's helped us to understand that one of the things we're called to in our unique part, in playing our part in the church and the city, is to rescue those who are drowning in sickness through praying for healing, drowning in debt through our CAP debt center and helping those in poverty, and also rescuing those who are drowning in their sin by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is the one that reaches down and rescues them out of those icy waters. It shaped a lot of who we are. It shaped our evangelism and the prophetic of trusting that actually God is always speaking to us and leading us into action. Rather than, the prophetic isn't simply just telling us something that's going to happen in the future, whether we do anything about it or not. You know that, right? When God speaks, it's so that he gets our attention and we walk in those ways that we might see those things happen. Not just that it's this is going to happen on that day and so sit tight, guys. Walk in these things, weigh these things, test these things, trust God in these things. So, I'm on the bench. On my one daily allotted walk during lockdown, remember those days in that different lifetime? There's this very impressive boat. And I'm watching it just slowly chug its way up Southampton Water from Royal Victoria Country Park Bench. And it just seemed a bit disappointing. I was just watching this thing thinking, You see, this yacht was just pootling along. Great word, pootling. feel free to use that more this year. Its engines were on, and it was slowly approaching its destination. It was heading for the harbour. And I'm sure there are plenty of safety reasons why a sailing yacht that big wouldn't actually have its sails up and be sailing up Southampton water like that. I know that, however. That's not the point. It just didn't feel right, watching this vessel. You see, it was clearly doing nothing like its full potential. It was just going all the way along. I'm sure it had been sailing in the open waters, but now, and here's what I felt God speak to me about. You see, we could arrive at our destination, wherever and wherever and whenever and whoever that might be, just by kind of going, or we could hoist the sails, we could follow the wind, and we could have an adventure. And that excited me. In John 3, verse 8, Jesus compares the work of the Spirit to the wind. He's talking particularly about salvation, but he says the wind blows wherever it pleases. And his point is that we can't control or decide, and maybe this is you this morning, we can't decide what God should do in terms of our souls and our salvation. Actually, that's down to him. He chooses. He decides. He blows wherever he pleases, and we are born again of the Spirit. But the idea goes beyond that with what Jesus is talking about with the Spirit. In Acts 2, we see the same idea that when the Spirit comes, there is a wind that rushes into this room, the sound of a rushing wind. And the Hebrew word for the Spirit and the Greek word, the Hebrew is ruach and the Greek word is pneuma, and they both have this idea of wind or breath. Now, this is where I needed Jake's help. Okay, because I grew up near Manchester. There's not a great deal of need for sailing. And I had no idea. So like I said, I phoned Jake. I said, Jake, explain sailing to me like an idiot. He said, you are an idiot. And then proceeded to actually explain sailing to me. And explained that actually you can explain all of the everything you need to know about God and the gospel through sailing. If you want to speak to Jake afterwards, get someone to give you an out, because he can go for a long time. But it is genuinely good stuff. Jake explained to me that you can sail with the wind behind you and you can sail into the wind as it comes towards you, which blew my mind, frankly. I kind of understood that you had to be able to do something like that, but like I said, I'm an idiot. But what you can't do is just point the boat at the destination and sail that way. I kind of knew that. But it was helpful to have it explained to me. You can't just point the boat in one direction and just go, right, we're going there. That's not how sailing works. Well, you can. You can just put the engines on and go. But that's not what sailing's about, right? That's not what we are made for. And according to Jake, that's boring. I don't want to live a boring life. Do you? Do you want to just put your way from week to week? Because I don't. I see when Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and life in all of its fullness, that feels like something that is exciting. Feels like something that's adventurous. And sometimes adventure is also kind of scary. And sometimes, week by week, Sunday by Sunday, doesn't feel very scary. Doesn't feel very adventurous. Exactly. Couldn't be better. For those of you who didn't hear, there was a big yawn. And I'm blaming a busy Christmas rather than me. Friends, this life is about us following Jesus. If you have ever read the Gospels, and if you haven't, I encourage you to, read the Gospels and see what life was like following Jesus. I don't think it was yawn-inducing. I don't think it was boring. This life, we are called to follow him according to his wisdom. His word is a lamp unto our feet, which suggests that you can't see that far ahead. which suggests that you're going to have to take steps of faith because he knows the plans and not us. He is the one who we are called to follow in faith. He reveals it step by step. Because most often, if he showed us the whole storyline, we would never get involved. Would we? Think about it. If you've put your faith in Jesus, since you started following him, if he told you what it would be like, I think so many of us would have just gone, I've counted the cost, I'm not sure. And yet, he has promised, and he's been faithful to his promise, that he will be with us even to the very end of the age. And so we keep following him. A life following Jesus looks like finding or reading the wind, seeing where the wind is blowing and going there. Jesus describes it. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing. He doesn't have the big master plan. He's responding to what God is doing. And we should do the same because we're following him. Who is following him? That's what we're about. We have to follow his lead and we have to let his wind fill our sails. Now, I've been working on something for all of about an hour. So, you're welcome. Plumi and Esther, do you want to... I've been making a sail. Some of you are going to say this just looks like a dust sheet held together with cable ties. And to those people, I say, you might be right. But it's a metaphor for what we're talking about. So these guys are going, oh, hold on, it needs to come this way, look. There you go. Flume, you're standing on the sail. This is why, folks, you plan these things. Anyway, we're going to hoist the sail to give you a visual representation of what it is that we are about. Look at that. You can all whoop and clap and go wild. There you go. I know. Here you go, look, here, this one, and then we can... Ah, beautiful, isn't it? Now, those of you who are sailors are looking at this thinking, I don't know. And you would be right. But that's not the point. You see, we could just hoist a sail and go, wow, look, guys, we hoisted a sail. We talked about some exciting things. And then it just does this. Just is a dust sheet. Thanks, guys. That is literally held together with cable ties. But a whole bunch of these sails together on a ship like that would actually do something, right? If the wind blew and got behind it, exciting things would happen. There would be forward momentum. Stuff would start to change. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about strategy. We've got purpose, yes, mission, vision, and strategy. You see, none of this means that we're going to scrap any form of strategy. We're just like going to sit in here on Sunday mornings and just pray and just kind of go, oh, I really hope some wind blows. We can be sure there will be wind. What we can't be sure of is of where exactly it's going to blow. Because the wind blows wherever it pleases. But we can, like a skilled sailor, learn to read the conditions and understand where the wind is blowing. If anything, actually, planning and strategy is all the more important when you're in a boat. Because otherwise, you're just floating about and you could go anywhere. That's why purpose and mission and vision are key. For a sail to be effective, it has to be, unlike mine, correctly rigged and attached to a mast. A mast is designed to be strong and flexible. So should strategy be, strong and flexible, able to withstand forces that are acting upon it. And so we've spent the last couple of years working with a professional strategic consultant, Phil Gallagher, everybody. What a hero. I know. Yeah, you can give Phil a round of applause. Phil has generously given his time to help us as a leadership team to think about what it is that God is speaking to us about and where we're heading, and most importantly, how we might get there. And I want to honour Phil because he's been a massive help to me personally. He's been a great friend. He's been a gift to us as a church, helping to pull together a strategic plan. And I think it's going to serve us for a number of years. So Phil, I want to just say thank you. I'm really grateful to you for the time you've given and the way that you have done it. You are a wonder. Thank you. Here's the big idea, just in case it's not come across yet. You ready? This is where it all comes together. Life Church is like a boat. Everyone got that? Yeah, if you've been around for any length of time, you'll have known that already. But Life Church is like a boat, and our purpose is like the keel, the bit that you can't see under the water, or a keel band, I'm told by Jake. So for those of you who are like really sailing bods, you'll be appreciating stuff like that that I don't understand. And that is the thing that keeps the boat upright and stable. Love God, love others. The great commandment. Our mission is like the hull of the boat, the big bit around the bottom that you can see. Our mission. Everything else is attached to this. If you compromise on the mission, everything starts to go under pretty quickly. Our mission is to go and make disciples. Everything else becomes irrelevant if we don't have that bit sorted. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission must stay together. Our vision is actually pretty small in the big scheme of things, but it's like the rudder at the back, underneath, just guides our direction. It makes sure that we're pointing in the way that God has spoken to us about, to bring life to every community, our way of working this out. A rudder only works if you're moving forward. You can't steer a stationary ship, as a wise man once said. That wise man also said, the second mouse gets the cheese. But that's a different story. It's very small compared to the overall size of the hull, but we are designed to be bringing life to every community. And our strategy looks a little bit like these five masts. Key things that we think, God's spoken to us about these things. They're clear from Scripture. It's not groundbreaking. It's nothing massively like, whoa, this is brand new information that no one's ever thought of before. But they are important. They're going to help us to think about what we say yes to, what we give our time to, and our energy, and our money. They're strong enough, but flexible enough, that they'll last us for a while, but also bend to circumstances and change with what's going on. And over these next few weeks, as I said, our eldership team are going to help us to think a little bit more about these. But these are those five key aims. We spent time in prayer. We spent time talking this through with all sorts of folk from across the church. So lots of you will be recognizing this stuff. It shouldn't be anything brand new. And we've shaped these not in any order to be some of what guides us and gives us clarity on what we're about. So aiming towards kind of 2030-ish, Life Church will increasingly become a church where children and young people are treasured as part of the body and are discipled for a lifetime with Jesus. I think that sounds good, right? Doesn't it also sound like something that you're like, oh, that's not what we're doing? That is what we're about. Some of them are still in here and loads of them just went out because that's what we're about. But we're saying this is very clearly one of the key things for us. Secondly, Life Church will increasingly become a church then who are hungry for God through prayer, faithfulness to the Bible, and being filled with the Spirit. This is exactly the reaction I was hoping for. Genuinely. You should be sitting there going, well, duh. Obviously. Right? This is good news. Increasingly becoming a church who share the gospel, leading many to faith in Jesus and are being shaped through the same gospel to become more like Jesus. Going and making disciples and being disciples. Increasingly becoming a church where those in need experience the welcome and love of Jesus and have their physical and spiritual needs addressed. Friends, we can't fix all the problems, but we can meet people where they're at. And finally then, increasingly becoming a church who are a diverse family, reflecting our city, who are all empowered to use our gifts for the kingdom of God. This is the stuff that we are going to hang these sails on. These key things. We can't do everything, much as it pains me to say it. I would love to do everything, but we can't. So we have to be clear about what we give our yes to. In line with our purpose, our mission, our vision, these are the things that God is leading us into. You see, masts on their own won't do anything. We could have these five things. Sorry, you can't really see that red one. Still important. But masts on their own can't do anything. It's not until you put sails on these things. And so it will be the hoisting of the sails that catches the wind of the Spirit that leads us forward as a group of people. The ministries and the meetings and the activities, each of them saying to God, God, we're here, we've given ourselves, we're ready for you to move. We believe that God uses various gifts in the body to lead us into these sorts of things, to help us to understand what it is that he's saying to us. And some of them are a process and practical, people like Phil, and then others are prophetic. And not, those two things aren't opposites, by the way. They can often and often do come together. But many of you will know Carly Miller, who did an internship with us. And a while ago, she left this picture on my desk. I think it should hopefully come up on the screen. She'd been praying about a year ago, and she sent me this picture. In the heart of what Carly shared alongside this is that there are people in need of rescue in the water. And I'm like, oh, hold on. I've heard this one before. That resonates with us. But also there's a land where it's dry and parched, and this boat was sat in a dry riverbed. And that's not to say, and none of this is to say, that what has come before has been kind of dry and all that sort of stuff. That's not the case. We've been on mission. Look, you're all here. God has been kind and good to us. But he's also calling us on. And so as this water rushed down the riverbed, this giant ship with wind in its sails floated, and gradually lots and lots of people started climbing up the sides, being pulled in. She was like, I only drew three because I couldn't fit more in. But this idea that we're going to see more than three people saved, that there are many in need of a rescue still. So there's a bit of a shift in our idea of what kind of vessel we are. That there's more for God to lead us into. But the mission is still the same. The need is still the same. And everything in this picture focused, all these people came through and they were taken safely to dry land, and they were taken up this mountain towards Jesus, the cross represented there. At the same time, Mark Landreth-Smith, who leads a church in Newbury, part of our family of commissioned churches, shared a prophetic picture of us having gone from being like a lifeguard to a lifeboat to a liner. This increase in the size of the vessel, in what it is that we are about. And at the same time, I was also preaching a series at the start of 2024. Some of you will remember it and lots of you won't. I had to go back and look up my own talk. In a series called Lord, Teach Us to Pray, where I'd been reading with my kids The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, the C.S. Lewis Narnia book. And I'd never actually read them myself when I was a kid, and so I was reading them to my boys, and we'd recently finished this book, and I felt God speaking to me for us as a church. The basic summary of the book is that Prince Caspian is on a quest, and he goes to find these seven lords of Narnia who sailed west and never returned. And there are uncharted waters. You can see on a map, I think there's a bit here, yeah. So these are the bits they knew. They sailed west from Narnia, or east even, sorry, from Narnia. And they didn't know where they were going to go because there was no map. And it is a beautiful picture of the Christian life, because at every point when something terrible happened, when they didn't know which way to turn and something came upon them, Aslan himself, who, spoiler alert, is a big picture of Jesus. Sorry if I've ruined it for you, but they were published like 70 years ago. He comes to them and he encourages them and he leads them and he guides them and he shows them the way. And it's the same for us. In many senses, we are heading towards what they head towards in the story, which is Aslan's own world. They reach the edge of the known world that they have. There's this giant wave wall, and they reach the edge, and Aslan himself is there. Friends, the point of any of this is not that we reach a destination as a church where we all look around at one another one day and go, hey, we've completed church. We've done it. Look how many people are here, or look how many things we're doing. Look how much money we've got. Look at the ministries. Look at the staff team. Look how great our worship team is. Look at the quality of the... We've got some way to go in some things, I'll grant you that. But friends, the point, the destination is a person. You know that? It's not a when or a what. It's not even the why. It is a who. And that person is Jesus. And he is leading us to himself. And the way that he has given to us to do that is his Spirit, which blows in our sails as we follow him. And it is uncharted waters. I don't know where we're going. If you were desperate for a leader who's like, I know, I don't know. But I do know who we're going to. And between all of us, he speaks. He shows us, he leads us. His word is a lamp unto our feet, and he will guide us in this adventure. See, we can have process and prophecy and strategy and vision. And as we hoist this sail, there is no specific destination, all of which can feel a bit like, oh, well, what are we doing then? We are following Jesus, which is the whole point. Love God, love others, make disciples of all nations. We are following him. Sailing looks a lot like this. Where you go like that. And so over these next coming years, over the decades to come of Life Church and any church that you should, if it's following the wind of the Spirit, it should be going like this. Wait, I thought we were going that way. Yeah. No, we're going to him. So the thing you love, the ministry that you are really keen on, the way things work that you are deeply affectionate about has to change at some point. Probably not all going to change right now. But we have to be those people who are about him and not about this. That's my appeal to you today. Is let's live a life of adventure, propelled by the Spirit, following after Jesus. Not just trying to keep everything together. Not just trying to keep our ministry going. Because this is not about me. This is not about you. This is about Jesus. There's a guy called Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. You're welcome. He was an aviator, a Frenchman, which is why I said it like that. And he was a writer, and he once wrote this: if you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood. Don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. And he's so nearly right. Because there isn't actually endless immensity of the sea. This isn't endless. One day, like Esther shared with us earlier, we are going home. We are going to come to the edge. We're going to come to the end, and we're going to meet Jesus face to face. And the invitation is to come and be on the adventure as we journey towards him. Not just endlessly floating out into a vast expanse of nothingness. That's not good news. But we're going to our Savior. Friends, at the outset of this year, as the band come down, I want to invite you to join us on board, to come and play your part in the crew, to put your hands on the ropes that God has given you to hold onto, to hoist the sails with us. Watch out, there's a sail there. Can I encourage you to be those who hear the wind of the Spirit blowing? If you are just relying on me or the elders to go, well, it's only them that are going to hear from God, we're going to struggle. Prophets, you need to spend time in the presence of God to hear what he is saying to you. We need all the gifts at work in the body. Put your hands to work. It can be really hard sometimes to think, okay, well, what's the practical outworking of a message like this at the start of a year like this? Well, here are some very practical suggestions. Be here on a Sunday. Join a life group. Serve on a team. Pray for the leaders of this church. Give financially. Invite someone over for food. Ask God what he is saying to you. They're all very, very practical things. I'm going to pray for us in a moment, and I'm going to ask that God would stir something in your heart. Not because I need it. I don't need a moment where you all go, yes, because I've already done that bit. I'm in. I want to invite you to come with. So can we stand together? God, I thank you that you are unchanging. That you have been the same yesterday, you are the same today, and you will be the same forever. And so, Lord, when we choose to follow you, we know who we are coming to. There is no turning in you. You're not going to surprise us by being completely different to what you've revealed yourself to be in Christ. And so I thank you that we have a sure and solid foundation to put our trust and our faith in you for this adventure. Lord, I want to pray for my friends here. I want to pray you will stir their hearts through your Spirit. I want to ask in this moment that you would come and you would join our hearts together on this great mission that you've got for us. That the youth that are in here will be the ones who are carrying this mission forward into the years, into the future. That the kids that are in the other rooms in this building will be those who catch something of what it is that you are doing amongst us, and you will lead us forward together. Lord, that we will all play our part. That none of us will think of ourselves more highly than we ought, nor more lowly than we ought, and that we will all know that we are called into this mission by you. Lord, for those who don't yet even know you, Lord, I pray in this moment, would you call their hearts to life? Lord, help them to see the rope dangling into the water that they can hold on to, and that in you they can find that rescue. Jesus, let that happen time and time again this year and in the years to come. Help us to be those people who are obedient to your call, that we might follow you. And that you might lead us on this great adventure into uncharted waters. Lord, we don't pretend to know where we're going, but we've got our eyes fixed on you. And so we look to you to be faithful to your promises and to lead us and guide us. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Life Church Southampton. Check out lifesouthampton.org for more.